This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, welcome to this special podcast drop. You know, we love it. End of the week, hurdles and home runs here at Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Right, I'm here. Special one today. I'm here with our newest producer, Jacob Morgan, in the house. Jacob, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I hope I can be the last producer, and not because the show ends. I mean, I hope I can be the last producer for the next 10 years or so. Because, I mean, I heard, hey, I've heard you go through so many, and you seem nice, so I don't understand why.
And we burned through them here. No, we've had some great folks. But as you know, like listeners, you know, producer Jess has moved on to exciting, you know, new, not, I wouldn't say new, but continuing her education towards, you know, her career pathway in the health sciences. So we're excited for her. And man, we've been stoked to have Jacob with us on the boards for this, this past week. And so, you know, it couldn't be a better fit for a hurdles and home runs episode because, you know, as we do here at Busted Pencils, you know, Tim and I, we like to chop it up and we like to often talk about how, you know, it's too infrequent that we connect some of our passions in education with education talk. And for both Tim and I, and we're going to get into it today for Jacob as well, our educational journeys and our experience in public schools, you know, moves outside of the classroom as well and into what sometimes some folks call extracurriculars. But here at Busted Pencils, we talk about them being essential or essential curriculum, right? But, you know, sometimes we talk about them as athletics or clubs or student organizations as well. But it's springtime. Golf is popping off. Track and field is going strong. Softballs, you know, the bats are cracking, baseball games, all kinds of exciting spring activities. So, Jacob, as we get into it today, getting our listeners a little more familiar with you, sir, Jacob Morgan, producer of the boards, talk to us a little bit about your experience with spring essential curriculars.
Well, for me, when I was a kid going from elementary school to middle school and high school, I did not engage that much with those so-called extracurriculars. And it wasn't really until I got to college that I really started to join clubs, started a podcasting club at my university, and got into some of those passions of mine that I really saw a different side of education. And I think that's what you and Tim talk about, that sort of ability to learn about things that really hit home for you, not just, you know, the standard procedure of education, getting into those personal matters that really matter to you. So for me, you know, it was things like writing, found a big passion for writing, for art, and of course for broadcasting. So that really changed things for me, that experience in college, getting to work on some of those things and learn about some of those things. And I understand now why you call them essential curriculars instead of extra.
Oh, that's so awesome, Jacob. Yeah. And as it happens to be, I'm sitting in, you know, a studio on campus where the local broadcasting program, you know, students come in here and they work on their, you know, their talk shows, their podcasts, and they actually practice calling play by play. And so it's really fun to be in that space. I think they would agree with you. A couple of them nodding over in the background, you know, that it is part of their essential education. It's where they get to, you know, build community. They get to, you know, learn cool things that are connected to their classroom learning, but are, you know, practicing the stuff they love to do. And Jacob, you know, when we talk about, you know, hurdles and home runs, it sort of has this ring to, like, it's track and baseball time. It's spring. It's also, you know, the Masters this week. And I think everybody I know who golfs is getting pretty excited for the golf season to pick up. But Jacob, talk a little, like I think one of your broadcast and podcasting interests overlaps with that. Tell us a little bit about some of your sports talk background.
Yeah. So 5 years ago, when I first got into broadcasting, I had done like internet broadcasting and YouTube and stuff since I was 14 years old, you know, but getting out of high school, I actually got a job as an intern at a radio station. And funny story, coming back to broadcasting in college, I didn't plan on going to college. My boss at the station recommended me to a certain university and a certain program that he said would be good for me. And so I got into that. One small problem arose. It happened to be during the pandemic, and the station got shut down, the college station. So I went there to learn this broadcasting program, do college radio. Within like a month, it was gone. But I kept with the station that I was working at throughout this process, and they ended up having an opening for a time slot, got me doing sports talk radio, which was, for me, I've always liked sports. I've been interested in sports, but I didn't think of myself as like, oh, I would be a sports talk radio guy. You know, I didn't dream about working at Sports Center or something like that, you know. But this experience, once I got into it, really was a great time. Talking sports is so much fun, especially when you can have other people come in who know sports like you do. It's a community that you build with the listeners and with your co-hosts and your guests. It's just a common interest. And that's, I think, true for people who play sports, people who talk about sports, and with all these extracurriculars, so-called, it's the ability to meet like-minded people and have that common interest, learning together, developing together. And that was just a huge, great experience for me. I did it for 3 years hosting my own show, learned a lot of things, and now taking those skills that I learned as a host to being a producer, I think I have an understanding for what you go through and what you need from a producer. So I think it's another example of just how when you're learning things, when you're going through life with different experiences, you can carry things over from one role to another. And I'm hoping that I'll be a good producer here on Busted Pencils.
Well, so far, Jacob, pun intended, you're knocking it out of the park here. You know, we loved having you here. You came in hitting home runs and clearing all the hurdles that, you know, Tim and I have thrown your way. But I love this. You know, what Jacob's sharing here is so important. It's that aspect of that we want to hammer home here on Busted Pencils. And I think our listeners, you know, you recognize this. And if not, we're bringing it up because it's a way that we can connect with our neighbors. It's a way we can talk about public education in our communities. We do love sports. Our community does. We love playing sports. Some of us, we love watching sports. We like seeing our young, you know, the children in our community participating in team sports or individual sports. But it's more than sports. It's all the other extracurricular that gets labeled that. Those essential programs. It could be choir, right? It could be clubs and organizations. It could be the anime club. It's really just about, you know, people connecting with something that they like and sharing that with other people they like, and then participating in that activity together as a community. It just builds so much into the educational experience. And Jacob, you're reminding me too that even when we kind of highlight sports, there's so much more happening at a sporting event or in a season than just the sport being played, right? There's all the volunteers and all of the people who participate in making those events possible. There's also all these opportunities you think about, like the student newspaper. That's an essential curricular piece that gets called extracurricular, that are, you know, that young people are writing about the sports that are happening, right? There's broadcast stuff. There's social media stuff. There's all kinds of fun media coverage that young people are participating in. There's the yearbook club and staff, which is sometimes actually a class, you know, I know that, but it's also that moment where they get out in community and connect to something that's outside of the classroom and get to build those real world experiences. You know, like Jacob, you came into broadcasting and you went to school for it, and there you were, you know, doing sports talk. It's like, it's a whole connected piece in our community, and it's part of the fabric of public education, because without our schools, I mean, we kind of have those things, but we don't have the connection to the learning component in it. And we don't often enough, that's what we're here championing it here at Busted Pencils, we don't often enough recognize it as learning, right? We just kind of think of it as like a fun activity that's layered onto school, or we'll just be there if we didn't have really strong schools. Well, that's not exactly the case. It's actually, you know, really an integral part of the day-to-day reasons and reinforcements for good education in our community. So love that you got to have that experience, Jacob, and you're reminding us, like, it's not just about playing the sport or coaching it. It's all the things around it. I was even talking with a young person the other day who is, majoring in kinesiology and doing an athletic training program as part of that. And they were, you know, in a group, like an organization and a club that was attending different sporting events and kind of learning what athletic trainers do. And then, you know, participating in like learning to tape up, you know, athletes who are participating in a competition. We happen to actually be, you know, at our hockey playoffs, the tournament. And it was cool to think about all the ways that, yeah, we think about the event itself, the sport, you know, the game, the big game or whatever it is. Or we might have watched the NCAA tournament this week, you know, and celebrated those big wins and, you know, been a part of that and saw the fan perspective or saw the athlete perspective. But you think about the hundreds of, probably even thousands, if we think about the programs and the programs involved, students who are engaged in a learning activity associated and intertwined with those events. It's just unreal. It's amazing. And hats off here at Busted Pencils. Well, Jacob and I keep our hats on, though, and talk a little bit more. Jacob, I'm curious and get you on the horn here. You know, thinking about your favorite spring sport, putting you on the spot. What's your favorite spring sport? Because it's spring right now. And we got all kinds of things, you know, popping off. What's your favorite?
Spring's a hard one because when I think about sports, my mind immediately goes to my two favorite sports, hockey and football. But those are fall and winter sports. Spring, what do we have? We've got baseball, obviously. Baseball's okay. I'm a Cubs fan. I don't know about you, Johnny.
I'm a Sox fan. If I have to pick which Chicago team, I mean, I'm actually a Detroit Tigers fan by, you know, by being loyal to the soil, being a Detroiter. But, it divides you. Are you either Cubs or Sox? You can't be both. So I'm a White Sox fan.
I'm a Cubs fan, and I don't understand why I would have a problem with White Sox fans, not even in the same league. Has nothing to do with each other, but for some reason, it's just, oh, you're a White Sox fan? I don't know. Are you big into baseball yourself, Johnny? Because for me, I like going to games. The atmosphere in a stadium at a ballpark for baseball is always fun. And it really translates to all levels. You can go to a major league team. You can go to a double A team, go to high school, college, whatever. Baseball is fun to watch for people in the seats. But on TV, I get a little too bored watching baseball. I mean, how does it go for you? Because I know baseball struggled with this in recent years. Like, how do you retain fans and keep people interested?
Yeah, I agree, Jacob. And also, you know, we could sneak in, hockey coach here and big hockey fan. We could sneak hockey into spring, technically. I mean, we're headed into Frozen Four coming up this weekend. That's college hockey finals. And we're edging up onto the NHL playoffs. And so, you know, hockey's going to keep going. It carries us into spring, arguably the most exciting time, but yeah, it gets cast as a winter sport. And for most high school and college students, it's primarily, you know, winter activity, unless you're the remaining few who get to make it a spring sport. But regarding baseball, Jacob, I mean, I do like baseball quite a bit. I am not, I wouldn't consider myself too knowledgeable in it. And I played it as a kid. And I loved going to Detroit Tigers games again, saying, you know, loyal to the soil. That's my team.
Yeah.
I also do love the Brewers. I got to say, like, I mean, here we are, you know, it's hard to not like them. But if you're a Cubs fan, you're probably a Cubs fan diehard. I love also, like you said, Jacob, I love catching a game live. I think I often say this, there are two sports that are just unbelievable to be at live. I think you could catch them on TV, but just doesn't do it justice. And that's hockey and baseball.
Yeah.
The two are just, to me, really fun to be at live. And especially baseball, you're outside, you know, there's a whole ambiance, whatever level. I love going to high school games. I love the college games. I love being able to finish class, walk across campus here, go see our baseball team play. And then I see a lot of those guys, you know, in the minor leagues. Then I love minor league games. You know, if you get out to a minor league stadium, you just know the energy. It's great to catch a live game, you know, have some snacks in the ballpark and just kick back and enjoy whatever the weather. You know, usually it's ideally a sunny day, but whatever the weather, it's fun to watch a baseball game live. And I'd say on TV, I'm with you, Jacob. It's a tough sell. I mean, if it's not the World Series, yeah, I'm kind of like, oh boy, this is going to be a snoozer. But I will say pitch count has really, I think, picked that up a bit, made it a little more exciting for the viewer. So the pitch count has been a nice thing. I've enjoyed that both live and on TV.
Yeah, I'd never really thought about it before, but like you're saying, hockey and baseball are probably the two best sports to watch live, and really at all levels. It's just a fun sport to watch. Do you think that is because a thing might hit you in the face? And there's just that energy, oh, wait a minute, a thing might hit me. So everyone's amped up and ready to watch.
It might be because, yeah, so it's like you're like in fan participation.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I mean, I just think some of the energy of hockey is lost in television broadcast. I think they do a pretty good job. But I mean, again, remember, these are huge people oftentimes at the pro level. But I mean, they're like, they're strong, fast athletes, both in women's and men's hockey. They're essentially doing it on knives, right? And So you're hearing these blades of steel cutting through ice. I mean, the noise is so loud live. It's hard to transfer to television. They do a pretty good job with getting mics on it and stuff. But I mean, live, they hit each other. There could be a fight. You know, the ongoing joke in the hockey world is I went to a fight in a hockey game broke out. There's always that kind of energy that like they're going to be hitting each other. It's one of the few sports, and this is a spring sport in a lot of states. Lacrosse is similar. The two are, I think, the only two sports I know of that we can go see live where the entire lines are changing as the game is going. So there's not like a stop of play and a change.
Yeah.
Right. Where if we like sub out a player in baseball, you know, there's a stoppage. If, you know, in soccer, there's substitutions and things like that. In basketball, there's substitutions. And in lacrosse, there's the box where the players go kneel down and they can change on the fly a whole line. Right. So you'll see it in lacrosse. A player takes the ball down the field, usually a midfielder or somebody, bringing the ball up, and they hold on while a whole line change happens. Right. And new players go out because we're transitioning from offense to defense. That's exciting. And in hockey, that's similar. It's happening on the fly where the players are changing who's on the ice in action. And that, I think, is hard to capture on television. But when you're there live, you're like seeing, because you can just glance over and see there's all kinds of activity on the bench and different guys are out all the time. So it's one of those things. Whereas baseball, I think, on the television broadcast, you miss the athleticism of baseball because it appears or it's presented almost as like a slower activity. And when you're there, you're like, man, there's nothing not exciting about the second the ball leaves the pitcher's glove and either hits the catcher's glove or goes off the batter's bat. And then it's like full on action for however many seconds that's going. And it's pretty exciting and pretty unbelievable what infielders and outfielders are doing, you know, to play defense in baseball, and what hitters do to get that ball out there as deep as they can. It's pretty exciting, which I feel like you kind of lose on TV. Other sports, I feel like, man, like football, great to watch on TV. Not saying don't go to a football game. It's fun for the energy and the atmosphere and to support your team. But actually watching is a lot harder than on TV. So I prefer watching my football on TV, although I love going to a football game. Regular listeners know about our first dunks and Friday nights in the fall. Tim and I love talking about football, but
maybe,
you know, I think you're right,
Johnny. I think maybe you're onto something here with these live sports, whether you're watching it on TV or you're watching in person, because football and baseball have a lot more stoppage in them. You know, there's plays and then they stop, and maybe that's what makes it a little bit more boring to watch than maybe hockey, which is just constantly going. I mean, you're at a hockey game. There are stoppages, but it's pretty quick. We reset, we get going, and it's pretty much flowing back and forth. Maybe that's part of the electricity there. I think baseball kind of reminds me of, what they call popcorn movies, which are these movies where you go to the movie theater and kind of having people around you, hearing the reactions. It's a communal activity. And when you watch baseball at home on TV, it's just not the same communal activity.
Yeah, I think you're there. And it's about community, which brings us back around to why we call it essential. Jacob and I just arrived at it, but, you know, it's probably listeners out there. Of course, that's why we like going to sporting events in our community or any event. If it's like a choir concert or it's, you know, dance recital, all the reasons that we get together and enjoy something together as a community. We sure learned that coming out of COVID, right? I mean, when you had mentioned like the program you had joined had to close and things like that. And we talk a lot about like, what do we learn as we're still kind of grieving and learning in education from the COVID era? And we're still in it, but the big heat of it, we're about 5 years out of it, right? And one of the things we definitely learned is, man, as a community, we value our events. And public education is so closely tied to those events being accessible, affordable, and in our communities. Because we talk about these in the sense of if we're to go to a pro game, a lot of times, you know, especially in this economy, you know, they say like in this economy, I mean, it's expensive. It's not always accessible. For a lot of us, if there's not a pro team nearby. So minor league games, college games, high school games, these become more and more vibrant community spaces where we can join other people who not only love the sport, enjoy it, but watching it be part of education. I think, you know, there are a lot of people who disagree with this. Maybe if you disagree and you want to call or text us at 608-557-8577, you can leave us a message or send us a text. Maybe you disagree, because there are certainly people who say athletics and education need to be separate. But I kind of want to pitch it out there, pun fully intended here, with hurdles and home run. This is baseball season, so I'm going to pitch it.
I like that.
And say, hey, these are curricular. There is so much learning and so many ways that the two come together to make for a holistic educational experience, not only for the athletes who are participating, but for all of the things. I mean, there is concessions, there is marketing, there's all these different ways that young people are engaged in learning. And I will tell you, every public school I know in this country has a really vibrant connection, way of connecting students, not only the athletes, but students to the whole aspect, career pathways, skills learned that are associated with these, not extracurriculars, but essentials. Jacob, we just got to scratch the surface. I'm excited to do more of these with you, my guy. Have you on the board. Thanks for busting pencils with us this morning, Jacob.
Very much looking forward to those future episodes. If this is what it's like, I think I'm in good company, because it's been a good show. Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Awesome. And now for your moment of zen. Protest beyond the law is not a departure from democracy. It is absolutely essential to it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for listening today to Hurdles and Home Runs with our guy here, Jacob Morgan. And you can grab more Busted Pencils content on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course on civicmedia.com, or you can catch it at bustedpencils.com. And don't forget, Saturdays for the Busted Pencils broadcast across all the Civic Media networks at 3 p.m. Central, and catch more of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.